Good to see everyone this evening. It's a beautiful day outside. I hope you've enjoyed the day, but it's really a great blessing to be able to come to the Lord's house to worship. This morning's sermon, by the way. If you're looking at the scripture sheet, this is this morning's sermon. Since I didn't preach it this morning, I was planning on preaching this evening, and I said, well, I'll just preach this morning. Tom already had the computer up here, and I said, well, I'll just go ahead and do another PowerPoint this evening. And it says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe in Jesus? We just read John 3:16. Most of you know this picture right here. This is Bigfoot. I'll tell you a funny story about this. A friend of mine's got a cabin over in a remote part of eastern Oklahoma, out in the middle of some rugged mountains. Anyway, there was a statue about 3 feet tall of Bigfoot in the cabin. And I took it out. I placed it beside some small saplings, and I got down low to the ground, and I took a picture of it, and I marked where I was standing. I went over and turned it a little bit, went back to my original spot, took another picture, and was gradually moving it like it was moving. Well, I get back to my home, and of course I got this on my phone, and I told somebody, I said, look what I saw while I was over. And I got to doing it, and I was clicking the pictures. Well, as I clicked the pictures, it actually looked like the thing was moving. And the guys were saying, man, we're getting a bunch of guys. We're going to go over and we're going to find this thing. And they were all fired up, and I finally had to say, this was only a hoax. And I had to tell them what I was doing because they was really going looking for this. But many people believe in Bigfoot when Bigfoot... The people that made this film said that it was a hoax. It was a hoax just like the one I made. Now here we see the lunar landing, the moon landing. I was at my grandparents' house when this event took place. And my grandparents stood right there, my grandmother and my grandfather, and said, that is not real. They're doing that on a Hollywood stage in California. Nobody can go to the moon. But we know that they really did go to the moon. But there's strange things that we have people that believe in Bigfoot that's not real. We have people that don't believe in the lunar landing, which was real. And we know that Jesus Christ was real, and we must believe in him. Amen. We cannot go without believing in Jesus Christ. Now this evening, we're going to look at some things pertaining to Jesus Christ so that we will believe in him. He is God. Perhaps this sounds elementary, but there are some who believe in Jesus, but not as God in flesh. But we know that he was God in flesh, and we're going to get to some scriptures here in a little bit that talk about this. Some believe that he is just a god, a prophet, and is simply a good man. This is what the Muslims say. But they don't believe that he's the Son of God. According to Jesus, it matters what we believe about him. Matthew 16:16. This, if you look at my scriptures, I got just a reference down there. I'll tell you here what's going on in Matthew 16:16. Jesus has just asked his apostles, whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And of course, Peter says, you're the Son of God. We know this to be a true statement. He is God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. John 1:1. So since the very beginning of time, Jesus Christ has been with God. He has been here from the very beginning with God the Father. And then in John 1:14 it said, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So we have to believe that Jesus Christ physically and literally lived on this earth with man and interacted with man. So here we see that he was God and he was man. Jesus, exactly who he claims to be, and that is God in the flesh. I was talking to someone yesterday and they were talking about dealing with people of the Muslim faith. Muslims, if you ask them, they say that Jesus Christ was a prophet, a true prophet, but that was all he was. He wasn't God in the flesh. He wasn't a son of God, just a true prophet. But what is a sign of a true prophet? What he says is the truth, and the things that he says and does comes to pass. Jesus Christ himself said, I am the Son of God. If that is true, then how can the Muslims say he's a true prophet? Because to them, he's either got to be a false prophet for making the statement that I am the Son of God, or they have to believe that he is the Son of God in being a true prophet. He is God. Even God refers to Jesus as his Son. Here's another reference I have on your scriptures, Matthew 3:17. This is when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. Most of us know this account that a dove came down and lit upon Jesus' head, and God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So God himself even claimed that Jesus is his Son. Jesus said, if that we do not believe in him as God's Son, then we will die in our own sins, John 8:24. Isn't that a terrible statement to know that we're going to die in our own sins if we don't believe that he is the Son of God? Believing in Jesus means believing in his deity. We know that Jesus raised people from the dead. He even raised himself from the dead. The tomb was not able to hold him. Tom talked about in his Bible class this morning that this is the last enemy that Jesus is going to overcome, and that is death. So we know that Jesus is deity. He fulfilled prophecy. Those who do not believe that Jesus is God's Son most likely do not believe that he was the fulfiller of the Old Testament prophecies. There are well over 300 prophecies concerning the Messiah who was to come. I've talked about this before. There is no other religious individual on the face of this earth, Buddha, Muhammad, Hindu, none of these have the prophecies that Jesus Christ had concerning his upcoming life. None of them. Jesus fulfilled every one of those prophecies. Every one. You know, people can make a prophecy and it 50-50 shot, it may or may not come true. But to have 300 prophecies, over 300 prophecies, and all of them come true, I would say that that's a pretty good chance that that person is deity if all over 300 of these prophecies come true. He fulfilled prophecy, Isaiah 7:14, prophesied specifically about his birth, said he was going to be born of a virgin birth. Who would make that prophecy? Who in their right mind would make a prophecy about somebody that say that they were going to be born of a virgin birth? It never happened before. It's never happened since. That would be taking a wild shot in the dark to make a prophecy to say that it was going to be a virgin birth. But it was a virgin birth. We know it was a virgin birth. Details about his death were prophesied about in Isaiah 53. Everything that Jesus went through on his death, his suffering, all of it is prophesied about in Isaiah 53, and you can read about it there. Isaiah didn't happen just a month or two before Jesus died. This was hundreds of years before Jesus was even born. We see in Luke 4, 16 through 21, Jesus stands up to read in the synagogue. They bring him the scroll. He opens it up to Isaiah 61 and reads verse 1 and 2. And when he got through reading, told all it was a prophecy concerning him. He was reading about his own prophecy, and he was there to fulfill it. He died sinless for our sins. If one believes that Jesus was simply a prophet or a just man, then they would not believe that he was a sinless sacrifice. There has never, ever, 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 ever been a person that was without sin on this earth except for Jesus Christ himself. The only individual that ever lived was Jesus Christ. John 1, 29. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Right there the Bible talks about Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. We talked about that in Bible class this morning. Charles and Tom was talking about that. About how that Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. Because in the Old Testament, the livestock that they were sacrificing, they didn't have sin because they're animals. They're not capable of sin. But they were not able to give themselves freely to be sacrificed. And Jesus Christ himself gave himself openly to be sacrificed for the sins of the world.
Amen.
Paul told Timothy that Jesus came to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15. Over and over and over we see in the Bible, especially the New Testament, where Jesus came to save the sinners. He died sinless for our sins. We are redeemed. 1 Peter 1:19. 1 Peter 1:19. With the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter 1:19. We see that Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. In the Old Testament, when they gave a sacrifice, came to offer a sin sacrifice, they were able to bring any kind of animal they wanted, wasn't it? They could bring the worst thing of the flock, say, well, it ain't going to be worth nothing anyway, so we'll just take it. No, they couldn't. It had to be without blemish and without spot. It had to be the best of the herd. It had to be the cream of the crop. And Jesus was without spot, without blemish, and most of all, he was the cream of the crop. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sinners, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. 1 Peter 3:18. We talked about that in Bible class this morning, about how that in the Old Testament, there was a veil that separated the holy from the most holy. The only person that was able to go into the most holy was the high priest, and he was only allowed to do that once a year. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, The veil in the temple was ripped from top to bottom, separating the holy from the most holy, giving us access to God. So now we don't have to go through a high priest as for say of the Levite tribe, because now we have Jesus Christ himself as our high priest. Do you believe that Jesus Christ was without spot? He was without spot, without blemish. The perfect of the perfect. Some will not believe unless they see a sign. You can see the verses here. Some people want some big dramatic thing. Most of us remember Naaman in 1 Kings, the 5th chapter. Naaman was a mighty man of valor of Syria, and Syria had just conquered Israel. But Naaman was a leper. He had leprosy. And they had taken a young Israelite maiden, and she told her master about a prophet down in Israel that could cure him of his leprosy. He went down there, and when Elijah told him about what to do, go dip into Jordan 7 times, he didn't think that was good enough. He wanted a better sign. He wanted him to come out and do hocus pocus and wave his hands over him, make a big to-do, but he didn't. There's a lot of people today that think that they need a bigger sign. There are some that don't believe unless they have more than the Bible to go on. The Bible tells us this is all sufficient for everything that we need to know pertaining to life and godliness. Everything. Some people want to know every little detail. They want to know what Jesus was writing in the dirt when they brought the adulteress to him. What difference does it make? Does that have anything to do with my salvation? They want all the questions answered, but it's not necessary. Some will not believe unless the majority believe the same. The majority's never going to believe the same. Think about in the first century. Here Jesus is performing miracles in front of their eyes, making lame men walk, blind men to see, lepers cleansing them. And the people didn't believe then. The majority didn't believe then. So how are they going to believe the majority believe today? Some will not believe unless it was what they wanted to believe. This is a big one. People say, well, I can't do what I want to if I believe in Jesus Christ. I got to live a certain way. I got to live a Christian life. Well, it's what it takes to believe in Jesus. They will not believe unless they have the approval of others. The only individual I need approval of is God through Jesus Christ, His Son. That's the only approval that I need. Some will not believe unless it requires little effort. And that's a big one for today. Most people don't want to do anything. We've talked before about how this is a generation of everything easy. I'm overweight, I take a pill to lose weight. I'm too skinny, I take pills to gain weight. I can't stay awake, I take a pill to stay awake. I can't sleep, I take a pill to sleep. They want a quick fix. Everything is quick fix. So everything, they even want the Bible to be of little effort for them, or they are not going to believe. Some will not believe unless it's a convenient time, Acts 24:25. Most of us know this scripture here. Paul is talking. talking to King Agrippa. And King Agrippa says, come back at a more convenient time. Thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. How sad a statement is that? Almost persuaded me to be a Christian. Nowhere in the Bible does it ever talk about King Agrippa ever coming to terms and becoming a Christian. And we know that where he's waiting for judgment to go. Many are called, but few are chosen. Is it any wonder because of all these? Do you believe in Jesus? John 3:15. We started out with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Here's the verse before that. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. We got to believe in him. It says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So we have to believe. And in John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. John 3:18. Pretty simple, isn't it? Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that we've got to believe. I think it was Phil Sanders on TV this morning was talking something about this. But it takes more than just believing. We can't just believe and say, well, faith only. We have to obey his commandments. If you obey his commandments, you're going to hear the word of God. Romans 1:16. You're going to believe the gospel. Mark 16:16. You're going to repent of all of your sins. Luke 13:3. You're going to confess that Christ is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32. See, when you confess that Christ is the Son of God, you're showing that you believe in him. You're going to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Matthew 28:18-20. And then you're going to walk in the newness of life and be faithful to the end of your life. Revelation 2:10. You do those things, you've got a good start on it. You know, it saddens me to no extent to hear people say, I don't believe in God and I don't believe in Jesus Christ. Y'all have heard me stand up here and say before that my whole family was raised in the Church of Christ from the time that we were born until today. And I am the only faithful member of the church out of 4 siblings. And my brother just older than me made the comment, he don't believe in God. And I've said before, I said, well, what if I'm right and you're wrong? And he said, you're going to heaven and I'm going to hell. So the day that I know that one of us dies will be the last time we ever see each other again. And it's a sad state of affair. But I know one thing, I can keep working on him till the day he dies. And hopefully, he'll come back to his senses. I want all y'all to think about this evening. Think about believing in Jesus Christ and coming to terms with the fact that he is the Messiah. I don't know how anybody today can say that they're still waiting on the Messiah to get here. The Old Testament ended with them waiting and looking for the Messiah. We had 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament. You'd think that people could figure out that if he hadn't come in 2,500 years, I think I'd be thinking that Jesus was the real Messiah and get my act together. The choice is yours this evening on what you're going to do. You can die in sin, or you can live life eternal. I've said before, the choice is yours. God did not make us spiritual robots to where we say, "Yes, Lord, we obey, we will do whatever you say." We're not spiritual robots. He gave us free will. He gave us the choice to make a decision on to sin or not to sin. Now, am I saying that you're going to be perfect being a Christian? No. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're going to make mistakes, but when we make mistakes, we go to God. We say, "God, please forgive me." And you repent of those sins, and when you repent, you turn away from them, and you head back towards God. My hope and prayer for every individual in this room and every individual on the face of this earth is that we all go to heaven. Amen. Is that a realistic goal? Probably not, but it's still one I can hope and pray for every day. I hope and pray that people come to a realization of the state their spiritual lives are in, and that one day they'll wake up and they'll say, "I need Him. I need Jesus Christ. I need the blood of Jesus to get me into heaven so I can spend all of eternity." I've said before, do you want to die once and shed this body, or do you want to die twice? Once shedding this body, and the second time by being sent to hell, which is separation of God, the second death. Choice is yours. If you've not lived a life like a Christian should, like I said a while ago, all you got to do is repent. Confess those sins, repent, and you're back good again. You wouldn't believe the number of times in my life I've had to repent and confess my sins and get myself straightened out. God loves you. Jesus Christ loves you enough to die on the cross and a horrible death. We love each other as brothers and sisters. Now the choice is yours. If we can help you any way spiritually this evening, please come as we stand and as we sing.